Hi everyone, I'm Laura Kaluger, Senior Associate Editor with Commercial Property Executive, and I'm glad to be the host of another episode of our quarterly podcast series on occupier and investor sentiment in the real estate markets around the globe. This is a podcast series created in partnership with the Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors in London. Today, we'll be looking at the organization's first quarter Global Commercial Property Monitor. Although their recovery from the pandemic may appear sluggish across some market segments, conditions have improved to a certain degree. As usual, economist Tarrant Parsons is here to share his insights. Hello, Tarrant.
Hi, Laura. Hi.
Your latest report highlights the real estate sentiment is recovering, but not as fast as some specialists initially expected. Why is it only taking baby steps?
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that many economies haven't yet kind of been fully reopened. So there are still a lot of restrictions in place in many parts of the world. And, it's just going to be holding back any recovery to a certain extent at this point. Hopefully where restrictions are now being loosened, hopefully we won't need to see a return of the most kind of severe lockdown measures again. Although I don't think anything can be kind of guaranteed at this point, but that would allow for a less disrupted path to economic recovery. And I think another big factor is that two of the mainstream sectors, offices and retail, are really being kind of negatively impacted by structural forces. And because those two sectors carry such a significant weighting for global commercial real estate, then they have a really strong influence on the headline results of our survey. But if you look at some kind of alternative sectors that will most likely take on growing importance in the future, I think a stronger recovery does appear to be underway there. So I think market conditions are really polarized right now, and perhaps the headline aggregate view doesn't really tell the full story.
How does the RICS metric capturing confidence in global real estate vary across countries? Which parts of the world have improved most in the first 3 months of the year?
I would say that on the whole, markets across Asia have already shown a slightly more noticeable improvement in our latest kind of quarterly figures. I think conditions appear much more stable now in China, for instance, and I think Respondents actually reported a slight increase in demand from businesses looking to occupy or take up commercial space. And actually just looking at, in fact, both the occupier and investment demand indicators that we track across China posted, I see, some of the kind of best readings since early 2019, although I would stress that these are still relatively modest when placed in a kind of a longer term historical context, but that is more positive from a very key market in China. I think elsewhere across the kind of Asia Pacific region, New Zealand would be another example where investment demand has now begun to pick up, and that's reflected in an improved outlook for capital values there.
The logistics and industrial sector continues to be the strongest part of the market, followed by multifamily and data centers. As you mentioned before, things are not looking that well for retail and office, but have things improved for assets at this end of the spectrum as well?
Well, in the sense that our feedback has turned somewhat less negative regarding offices and retail, then you could call that an improvement of sorts. But I think still, for the time being, expectations for both rental and capital value growth, they do remain deeply negative across the vast majority of countries covered with regards to those two sectors. Okay, you could say that the declines that are projected over the coming 12 months aren't quite as steep as in previous quarters, so that rate of decline is slowing, but the outlook is weak nonetheless. And I think secondary retail and office markets in particular are really struggling against the current backdrop, and there's quite a strong sense that the issues facing those two sectors are going to carry on over the longer term, and I don't think there's any sign of meaningful change in the atmosphere at this stage.
In your latest survey, you included several additional questions, and one of them was, how long will it be before revenues generated by each asset class would return to pre-COVID levels? What did most investors say?
So at the global level, and it's not surprising given what I've just said, but I think respondents felt that revenues generated by shopping centres would take the longest time to recover. That could take another 3.5 years from this point. In terms of the other sectors, secondary offices, high street retail, and some hotels, particularly regarding business travel income, they're expected to also take, you know, 3 or more years to recover to, you know, pre-COVID levels of revenues. And then, you know, at the other end of the scale, we've got industrial and logistics assets that are seen as recovering in less than a year. And I think in truth, in many cases, they could have already bounced back from any initial hit that they may have received right at the beginning of the global pandemic. So those are pretty consistent patterns everywhere. If you look at some kind of regional trends, again, I think the expected recovery periods were shorter in Asia Pacific compared to the other world regions. That's true across virtually all sectors. And then in Europe, I think respondents, they expect a particularly protracted, lengthy recovery for shopping centres and could take up to 4 years or more.
That's quite a lot. Mm-hmm. Another additional question touched on businesses' intention to cut back their office footprint, an ongoing discussion in the past 12 months. What are investors' responses indicating about the future model of office work?
Yeah, so our respondents are expecting, so this is an average across the globe, they're expecting that office space requirements could be trimmed by 9%. If you remember, we asked this question 6 months ago, and the average back then was, you know, an 8% reduction. So obviously, a pretty similar result, of course, but maybe it just hints that, you know, expectations are heading in a direction that suggests that the scaling back in office footprints might be slightly greater than initially envisaged. It's certainly not moving in that other direction. So I think obviously there are a wide range of views, and we're only talking about the average of that feedback. But it's interesting that respondents in France, the UK and the United States, for example, are expecting, you know, amongst the largest reductions in office footprints from businesses over the next 2 years at around 12 to 14%. And then, of course, you do have some areas. So I could highlight Spain and China, as well as Cyprus, where the scale of the reduction is expected to be much smaller at around 5 or 6%. But I think overall, of course, that the increase in remote working during the pandemic is very widely expected to cause a lasting shift in working preferences and how office space is utilised going forward. And this latest survey data kind of adds further evidence to that.
And what can you tell us about valuations? Are most respondents still viewing the real estate market as expensive or very expensive?
In truth, there hasn't been a great deal of movement in perceptions around real estate valuations for this quarter. So we have 43% of respondents globally that feel the market is expensive, or I should say above fair value right now. And that's not seen much change compared with 45% taking that view last time. But I guess if you were to compare this with prior to the pandemic, when kind of 51%, so a slight majority of survey respondents felt that commercial property was expensive back then. So looking at that slightly longer time frame, there has been a gradual, but I would say consistent kind of shift in that direction. And, you know, so it's just 43% compared to 51%. I would say that one point to note is that valuations are kind of seen as slightly more stretched in Europe as a whole compared to the global average. That comes through in these latest kind of returns. So in Germany, for instance, I think over 80% of our survey sample consider commercial real estate prices to be above fair value, and that share has actually risen over the past quarter. And then you also have markets across the Middle East where, you know, it's not seen as such a concern, or valuation concerns aren't quite as prevalent compared with the global average. So around 2/3 of our respondents in the Middle East feel that, you know, prices are either at or below fair value. So quite a big dispersion across the globe.
Indeed. And in what phase of the real estate cycle do most respondents view the market now?
Well, worldwide, although it must be said that, you know, there's still a significant share of our respondents that consider their local market to be in, you know, some stage of downturn. I would stress that if you look at the Q1 results, they do show, I would say, a genuine swing towards more members now sensing that the early stages of an upturn or recovery are underway. So if we look at last time, this share stood at 18%. And then this time it rose to 28%. So over a quarter now feel that recovery is underway. And I would say that's a meaningful movement. if you disaggregate these results slightly, I think what's encouraging is that all world regions saw a rise in the proportion of response that now see, you know, just the early stage of a recovery coming through. Again, that's most pronounced in Asia Pacific and perhaps a little less obvious across Europe. But I think the important aspect to note is that some degree of improvement has been seen right across the globe. And hopefully that can be kind of built upon further as we progress through the year.
As part of this first quarter survey, respondents were also asked a series of questions focusing on perceived risk in commercial real estate and changes in occupier behavior. What does this part of the survey reveal?
I think the main takeaway from the results of that question is that, you know, although risks surrounding commercial real estate returns are considered to still be quite elevated, they have eased slightly since the peak of the COVID pandemic, or should I say, the first peak of the pandemic. And that's the case, I think, for the vast majority of markets that are covered. Of course, it's not true everywhere. And several nations that we track in the Middle East and Africa, I think, such as South Africa and the UAE in particular, they do have elevated risk scores. And for those markets, I think conditions were already very challenging prior to the pandemic, and all that's gone on over the past year has just acted to kind of compound the difficulties, and hence the reason they have much higher than average perceived risk levels when it comes to commercial real estate returns. So I think some markets would most likely be performing quite well if we hadn't had a global pandemic, but those nations that I mentioned, the UAE and South Africa, I think they would still be struggling due to other factors.
Let's take a look at the situation across the globe. Prior feedback from respondents across Asia Pacific pointed to a lack of uniformity across different segments of the market. How do the early stages of recovery look like in Asia Pacific?
Yeah, the recovery across APAC is still very much led by the industrial sector, I think, as is the case nearly everywhere, or pretty much. Mm-hmm. So that is the sector in which demand is reportedly rising, and where expectations for rents and prices or values are very firmly positive. That's at least in terms of the prime industrial market. I think what's interesting about Asia Pacific and slightly different to the global level trends is that the office sector does appear to be more resilient than elsewhere across the world. Certainly that the prime office market is now expected to see some capital value growth across APAC in aggregate. And projections have been upgraded from marginally negative beforehand, the previous quarter, to now be slightly positive in the latest results. Obviously, that is an average. And I should still say that that positive view for office isn't coming through in every market. So still got some kind of key markets, Australia, Hong Kong and Japan, that all still display a negative outlook for office values. But I think it's really coming through in China and India, very large markets. Obviously, respondents there are expecting prime office values to recover slightly in the next 12 months. So that's really where the contrast is with the overall global outlook.
What did the results of the survey reveal about Europe? What are the expectations for this part of the globe?
Yeah, so the latest survey feedback across Europe, it does point to a more stable backdrop emerging in comparison to recent quarters. I think this improvement's especially evident on the investment side of the market. In truth, you could say it's almost entirely being driven by the industrial sector. Our key metrics capturing changes in occupier investment demand are actually signalling the strongest growth recorded for industrials since the European survey was kind of established in 2008. So that really goes to show the sheer pace of the growth for industrials, despite everything that's going on at the kind of macroeconomic level. And then alongside this, the outlook is also strengthening across several of the alternative asset classes that were mentioned before: data centers, aged care facilities, and kind of multifamily residential investments. So that is actually very strong across Europe. On the flip side of that, though, of course, the ongoing structural changes accelerated by the pandemic really do continue to negatively affect sentiment within office and retail. And I think demand's still very weak there. We've got rising vacancies, and that is anticipated to feed into further, albeit slightly more modest, rental and capital value declines over the year to come. And I think that's the case across all nations covered throughout the European markets, the European continent.
You mentioned earlier that the Middle East and Africa continue to portray a challenging set of conditions. Indicators on occupier and investors demand still negative across the majority of nations covered by your survey. What should we expect for Middle East and Africa?
Yeah, I would say that the Middle East and Africa, the MEA region, is kind of on balance still producing the most downbeat set of results relative to the other global aggregations that we divide our results into. That isn't to say that, you know, conditions are firmly contracting, declining everywhere, because then there are some examples. I think Saudi Arabia, for instance, would be an example where our indicators are actually comfortably positive. But on the whole, on average, occupier sentiment across the Middle East and Africa really didn't show much at all in the way of improvement during Q1. And in fact, kind of incentive packages used by landlords to entice tenants, such as kind of rent-free periods, they were reported to have picked up to a slightly greater extent this quarter than at the end of last year. And I think that's a really clear indication of the kind of underlying excess of supply over demand at present. And I think a significant point to note is that even the industrial sector, which is pretty much booming worldwide, demand is actually kind of much softer there across Middle East and Africa. And as I said, I think the pandemic is exacerbating an already challenging backdrop, and oversupply concerns in UAE, for example, predate COVID, and perhaps explain why this region appears to be lagging slightly now.
In the Americas, the industrial sector continues to shine, while offices and retail remain under pressure. Sentiment indices have remained weak, especially on the occupier side of the market. Please expand on the results of the survey for this part of the world.
Yes, again, across the Americas, you know, as with all regions, in fairness, the occupier market has seen, I think, a greater degree of negativity kind of remaining in the latest results, while, you know, investment market metrics are you know, edging closer to neutral territory, the type of readings that would signal a much more kind of stable, improving pattern coming through. I think the occupier trends, are a lot more reflective of the economic challenges faced by many businesses, whereas the investment market, you know, which can be more immediately influenced by loose monetary policy, things like that, I think in some periods the investment market can feel a little bit disconnected from the economic reality, and that's where you're getting this kind of weak occupier side and better improvements on the investment side. But I think in any event, the performance of different market sectors is as polarized, if not more so, across the Americas than any other part of the world. You know, rental growth projections for the year ahead stand at 4% for prime industrial space, and that's, you know, an exceptionally strong outlook. And if you look, you know, specifically at the United States on its own, then expectations are closer to 5%. So some segments clearly are displaying pretty robust trends right now. The problem is the other two mainstream sectors, offices and retail, remain under intense pressure and are really pulling down the headline averages, and that's especially evident on the occupier side.
Considering all the things you told me, how do you expect the global economy to perform going forward?
Well, yeah, I think despite all the risks and challenges, generally speaking, forecasts for the global economy have been upgraded lately. You know, we're not at the end of the pandemic, of course, and the rise in cases is actually very worrying in parts of the world, in India, for instance. But I think the data coming through shows purely from an economic standpoint that businesses have adapted much better and faster to lockdowns being reintroduced a second time, or even a third time in some instances. And so the output, the hit to output, hasn't been as great as during the first wave. So I think for this reason, along with the continued rollout of vaccination programs, global economic growth projections for global economic growth are picking up with, I would say, a greater degree of confidence. Although, you know, of course, there still may be some setbacks. But the IMF now envisages that the world output will rise by 6% in 2021, and that's compared with their previous estimate of 5.5%. So that gives you an idea of the upward revisions to global growth. And I think that view is pretty much, you know, in line with consensus expectations now. So it looks as if the year 2021 will see a strong rebound, and then next year activity will, with a bit of luck, kind of exceed pre-crisis levels and be accompanied by a strong rise in employment. And at that point, I think rising recovering employment would then start to be very beneficial to occupier market trends across commercial real estate. So if the recovery can continue, I would expect that to then feed through into occupier market trends perhaps next year or the end of this year.
I guess we'll see. Taran, thank you very much for your comments.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening. Until our next chat, visit cpexecutive.com for more podcasts, interviews, and news articles.